Montreal, Canada. So I have met 30 years ago. He was a young, nice young man. He's still a nice young man. I have been a pastor in California for 42 years. I started as a youth pastor in 1982 at Calvary Chapel in Napa. I don't know if you've ever been to California. It's a wild world. Insane, incredible. A young man entered the train and he looked terrible. He had lipstick on his cheek, on his collar. His tie was all out of place. He had a bottle of whiskey sticking out of his jacket. He had a newspaper under his arm, and he walks in the train, and he sat right across from a priest. And he's reading the paper, and then all of a sudden, he reached to the priest. He said, "Father, how do you get arthritis?" And the priest said, "Arthritis is caused by wild living, womanizing, drunkenness, and partying." And the guy sat down and continued reading, but the priest felt terrible. And he reached to the young man and he said, "I'm so sorry I was rude to you. How long have you had arthritis?" The man said, "Arthritis? I don't have arthritis. I was reading here, the Pope has arthritis." But even in California, being a pastor is a dangerous job. A lady was so mad after the message, she met the pastor at the door, and she said to him, "If you were my husband, I would put poison in your tea." He smiled and he said, "If you were my wife, I'd drink it." I did not come to talk about California or arthritis. I came to talk to you about life after death. I'm approaching 80 years old, and it's an important subject to me. Jesus came to earth, we all know. And he came to give us information about God, about heaven, about the final judgment, about the end time. He told us a lot of information, but he did not talk much about what is on the other side. Not even after he rose from the dead. He did not talk about it. And yet people have so many questions about what is on the other side. Is there life beyond the grave? Are we conscious after death? Does our soul or our spirit continue to exist? Do we get another body? Will we know one another on the other side? Will we remember the past? What about purgatory? Is there hope of a second chance after death? Will we feel anything? Can a dead person come back to warn others? Well, Jesus did not talk much about the other side, but he did talk about it. Only one time. Only one time he took people beyond the grave. In one story in the Bible, Jesus answered all these questions that we have about the other side. And today we are going to see what is on the other side. If you have a Bible, or it will be posted, we can turn to Luke chapter 16, verse 19, and we will see what is on the other side. We must be careful with this story. Some Bible versions have added one word that is not in the original text and changed a lot of things. They added the word parable. This is not a fable. This is not a parable. What Jesus said is a true story with real names of real people. So these are the words of Jesus. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his wound. The name of the rich man is not mentioned. This is not a fictitious, invented story just because the name of the rich man is not given. The Lord could have mentioned his name. He knew his name. He knew the town where he lived, but he chose not to mention it. He only mentioned how the man lived. He lived in luxury, feasting every day. He lived flamboyantly, not afraid to show his riches. He was flashy. He was a type of Liberace, if you remember him. He was dressed like $1 million. Purple material and fine linen were rare and very expensive. He wanted everybody to know that he was rich. He was in love. The man was in love. He was in love with himself. When everything you do is for you, you are in love with yourself. This man was. Then a second character is introduced in verse 20. He is quite a contrast to the first one. He was a complete opposite. He was a poor beggar, covered with sores, with nothing to his name. But this man is mentioned by name. The rich man was not mentioned by name. Why not? Because the good shepherd called his own sheep by name. Lazarus was a sheep of the good shepherd. The rich man was not. It appears that this poor man was also crippled. He was not standing there. He was not sitting there at the gate of the rich man. Look, it says he was laid at his gate. Someone brought him there, laid him there. The poor man was a test for the rich man. He was an opportunity to show if the rich man had a heart or not. And we will see that he did not have one. Now, why was Lazarus laid there? We are told he desired to be fed with crumbs. Nothing else. Like one of the dogs, all he wanted was for the crumbs that fell from the table to be given to him. In those days, they did not have fork and knife like we do. They ate with their hands, and they had no napkins. So after the meal, they would take a piece of bread, they would wipe their hand, and they would toss it to the dogs. Lazarus wanted it tossed to him. That's all he wanted. And he did not even get this. Another thing he said, the dogs came and licked his sore. There was more kindness, more compassion coming from the animals than from this rich man. So we see here a first contrast in this story, a contrast of lives. One man lived in extravagant luxury. The other men live as poorly, as low as you can go. Jesus goes on and says in verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Even though their lives were extremely different, they had one thing in common: death. They both died. Rich or poor, wise or simple, everybody dies. Sooner or later, every one of us is going to die. I'm first. So we see a second contrast there. A contrast of death. The poor man died first. Well, it's normal. If you don't eat much, you won't live long. There is no mention of a burial for Lazarus. Nothing is mentioned. I'm sure he could not afford that. His body was simply taken to the city dump where all the poor people ended up. It was located outside of the city limit. A fire was constantly burning there. The people would bring their trash there, and it was burning day and night. His body might have been cremated at the city dump, but Jesus said that Lazarus was carried by some angels to Abraham's bosom in verse 22. While he lived on earth, Lazarus had placed his trust in God. Even though he could not understand why those things were happening to him, still he trusted God. So God ordered his angels to go pick him up and take him to paradise. By the way, it is okay to be cremated. There is nothing wrong with it. Then the story continues, and the rich man also died. And we are told that there was a burial. I'm sure there was a great funeral for this rich man, with an expensive coffin and lots of flowers. And this should be the end of the story. A rich man died, was buried, a poor beggar died, was cremated at the city dump. Two men. One was buried, one was cremated, and a story. It should be the end of the story. But it is not the end of the story. It is just the beginning. Jesus continues with it. Why? Because death is not the end. It is the beginning of a new existence in another world. The first four verses deal with this life, and the next nine verses deals with life after death. The next thing we see, almost instantly after being buried, the rich man is in torment, in Hades. What is Hades? Where is it? Hades comes from two Greek words that means unseen place. The place of the departed spirit unseen by human beings. It is not the physical grave in the cemetery. It is not the lake of fire, the permanent place of the lost. Luke 10:15 tells us that it is in the center of the earth. One has to go down to it. It is the place people went immediately after death. Revelation 1:18, Jesus said that it is locked. but he has the keys to it. It is not an eternal place. It is a temporary place. In Revelation 20, verse 14, we read that Hades will be cast into the lake of fire, and it will be destroyed at the end of the world. Prior to the death of Jesus Christ, any person who died, believers or unbelievers, they went to Hades, the abode of the dead. Because it was impossible for a sinful man to enter heaven. No one could enter heaven until the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. So before his sacrifice, God had a place for his believers. And it was called Abraham's bosom, right there within Hades. And it appears that it was a upper level than the other one, because the rich man lifted his eyes to see Abraham and Lazarus. So whether people were buried or cremated, everyone arrived at that place, Hades. Hades had two compartments, a place of blessedness where Abraham went, and a place of torment where the rich men went. In our story, one man is in one compartment, the other one is in the other compartment. Is it still the same today? No, it's not. Why not? Because if you remember, when Jesus died, he was 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. Why did he go there? He went to Hades. He went to set the captives free who were in the compartment with believing Abraham. That compartment was emptied that day after his death on the cross, and he brought the men who died on the cross, who said, "Today you'd be with me in paradise." He brought them all to heaven after his sacrifice was made for mankind. Today, when a believer dies, he is united with Jesus in heaven immediately. Only unbelievers today go to Hades. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord." The Bible does not teach soul sleeping. There is no waiting period. There is not a chance, another chance after death. It does not say anything about purgatory. I grew up a Catholic boy, and I heard about purgatory, and my mother told me about purgatory. But it is not a scriptural doctrine. It was invented by man. We are told in verse 23 that the rich man could see Lazarus. But there is no indication that Lazarus could see the rich man. It would not be heaven if we could see suffering. If there are people that you love who are not going to make it to heaven, they will be erased from your mind. You will not know. You will not suffer in heaven. It's a great place of glory. When we die, what continues to exist? The soul or the spirit? What is the difference between the soul and the spirit? We are a trinity, a lower trinity. There are three parts to a person. The body, we know. It is made of flesh and blood, plenty of blood. I saw some on the floor. This part is temporary. It returns to dust. Bodies do not, cannot, enter heaven. They are only for life here on earth. Then you have the soul. What is the soul? The soul is the consciousness, the awareness. All the senses, hear, smell, feel, the sight, the taste. It includes all feelings and emotion. That's the soul, the emotional part, the psychological part. It is immortal. It gets out and continues to live after it leaves the body. Animals have a soul. They have consciousness. They have all the same senses and feelings that we have. But their consciousness is not eternal. It ceases to exist when their body dies. It does not have to face God's judgment. There are horses in heaven, but they don't come from here. So don't expect to be reunited with your pet. It won't be there. Then we get the third part. Body, soul, spirit. What is the spirit then? The spirit is the conscience, not the consciousness, the conscience. Reasoning, understanding, thinking. Animals do not have a spirit. It is the character of the person. The spirit gives men the ability to believe, to use wisdom, to make decisions. It has no emotions. This part, also eternal, belongs to God. We all have a part in our Trinity that we don't own. God owns that part, and it returns to Him who gave it, the Bible says. The soul and the spirit are linked together. They cannot be separated. When a person dies, both soul and spirit depart from the body and they continue to exist. In our story here, the soul and spirit of the two men who died continued to live. The rich man lifted his eyes and saw, verse 23. What eyes? He was in a coffin. He had a beautiful funeral. What eyes? Then he cried, verse 24. He had a voice. He could talk. That's part of the soul. Number three, he recognized Abraham and Lazarus. He could think. That's part of the spirit. Lazarus had a finger. The rich man had a tongue. They had new bodies. The rich man felt the torment. His consciousness, his feelings were still working. That's the soul. He prayed in verse 24. Who did he pray for? He prayed for himself, for Abraham to have mercy on him and allow Lazarus to come and bring him water. And later, verse 26, we will see that he will remember his five brothers. His memory was still working. But the rich man's character did not change on the other side. He still viewed Lazarus as his servant. He was still giving orders to others. But this time, nobody jumped. He was still a self-centered man on the other side of the grave. He was not ashamed to ask for a favor from the very man who had never received a favor from him. He also expected Abraham to listen to him and to obey him and to send Lazarus even though in his life he had nothing to do with Abraham's faith. Don't bother me with a God, with a church. But when they now on the other side, too late. Jesus goes on and says, verse 25. But Abraham said, son, meaning he was Jewish, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham asked the dead man to remember. If he could not remember, that would be asking an impossibility. But it is indicating that he still, on the other side of the grave, had the ability to remember. His consciousness was not sleeping. It was working. We associate our capacity of speech, hearing, feeling with our bodies. But they still work outside of this body. Here we have a third contrast. A contrast of eternities. The rich man was tormented, the poor man was comforted, and that for all eternity. These are the only two possibilities after death: torment or comfort, and both forever. And the choice is in our hand. God has given us the freedom to go one place or the other. The rich man could not leave his place of torment, not even for a moment. Neither could Lazarus leave his place of comfort, even for a moment. Notice, we see a praying man in hell. Verses 27 and 28. The rich man prayed for his five brothers. He was not able to understand that Lazarus was not his messenger boy. Can dead people come back to warn others? Has anyone come to you? No, because they cannot, not allowed to pass from one to the other. The rich man was a praying man, but he started to pray on the wrong side of the grave. On earth, he felt no need for prayer. It is too late to pray for someone who is on the other side of the grave. We must pray for them this side of the grave. What a terrible thing memory will be in hell. To remember for all eternity every sin committed, every opportunity refused to get right with God, every gospel message rejected. And Jesus concludes the story, verse 29. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Abraham refused to answer the rich man's prayer. Lazarus could not go back to earth to warn his five brothers. He told them, they have Moses and a prophet, meaning they have the word of God. Moses, the first five prophet the rest of the book. So the only one thing that could prevent his brothers from joining him would be the word of God. The word of God and responding to it by faith. Look at him, this man, this rich man. He is arguing with Abraham. Verse 30, he says to him, no, that won't do. Let one go from the dead, they will repent. He is saying that his brothers will not read the Bible. They will only be converted if they see a supernatural miracle, someone coming back from the dead. He is sure that the Bible won't work for his brothers. Send Lazarus. And Abraham disagreed with him in verse 31. He said, if they don't believe God's word, they won't be convinced by one coming from the dead. And Abraham was right. Unbelief is a disease of the heart. Evidence cannot touch it. Miracles cannot change it. The disease of the heart cannot be cured through the eyes, no matter what they see. So why are we allowed to look beyond the grave? Why did Jesus take us beyond the curtain? To learn 10 important lessons. And I'll close with that. Lesson number one, verse 19. A man may have a beautiful appearance here on earth. Nicely dressed, purple, fine linen, and yet be utterly corrupt in the sight of God. Lesson number two is in verse 20, 21. A man may be poor, be in bad shape, covered with sores, and yet be rich and beautiful in the sight of God. Lesson number three is in verse 22. A man may have no funeral at all. He can be cremated at the city dump and yet be gently carried to heaven by the angels of God. Lesson number four, verse 23. A man may have an impressive funeral with tons of flour, beautiful coffin, while he is in torment in hell. Lesson number five, verse 24. A man may have great riches in this world and be totally destitute in the next world. You can go from feast and luxury to begging for a drop of water. Lesson number six, verse 25. If a man neglects his opportunities in this life, he will remember his folly forever in the next. Lesson number seven, verse 26. Even though believers and unbelievers are together now, they must be separated for eternity. A time is coming for a final separation. Lesson number eight is in verses 27, 28. Prayers after death benefit no one. I remember praying with my mother as a good Catholic boy for people who had died in our family and the rosaries and all things, and this accomplished nothing. Prayers are for this life. They accomplish nothing after the person is dead. So do not pray for the dead. Lesson number nine is in verse 29. Those who will not believe the word of God and will not accept the plan of salvation, they will perish without remedy. Nothing else can help them. Finally, number 10, verse 31. No one from the other side will come to warn people. Jesus came from the other side, and still so many people did not believe him. So Abraham was right. Let's look at these two guys one last time. Take a look at the poor man, Lazarus. Lazarus was not carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom because he was poor. Poverty saves no one. But he was a man of faith. And like Abraham, he lived a life of faith. So he was received by the father of faith. Look at the rich man. Tell me, what was his crime? What had he done? He was not accused of any evil sins or perverted crime. We are told he was rich, nicely clothed, feasting well. None of those things are sinful. What was his sin then? It's not a sin to be rich. Abraham was rich. Many other people in the Bible were rich. His heart was set on the good things of life. He was not interested in God. He was not generous. He was not merciful. He took no notice of the poor at his own door. He was selfish, self-centered. He got from life all the pleasure and satisfaction he could. His time, his thoughts, his money, all revolve around him. He was in love with himself. He forgot God. That's a terrible sin. He was not wise. The word of God told him to love God with all his heart, all his soul, and to love his neighbor as himself, but he shut his ears to all this. He did not want to hear. Do not make the same mistake. Learn from this rich man. This is the only time in all the Bible you can read it cover to cover, where the curtain is open a little bit, and we are allowed to look on the other side, to look beyond the grave. And we see the rich man who woke up to eternal truth, but too late. He saw his own danger, but too late. He prayed, but too late. He became concerned with the salvation of others, but too late. Don't wait until it's too late. So in this story here, we have all the answers to our questions. The question that I have asked you at the very beginning. Yes, there is life after this one. No, the soul does not sleep nor die. Yes, we are conscious at all times. Yes, we will recognize one another. Yes, in hell, people remember the past. No, there is no hope for a second chance. Yes, both soul and spirit continue to exist. Yes, we get another body. No, the dead cannot communicate with us. No, there is no purgatory. And no, it is not possible to come back to convert people. Jesus did not talk much about the other side of death, but he told us enough to know what is on the other side. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we do thank you for your word. How great it is to be told directly from you, Lord, from your mouth, this story about a rich man who ignored God, who could have done good, who could have been rejoicing with the poor man. They could have been together in heaven for all eternity. But one man was in love with himself and was not interested in you, Lord. What a price he paid. What a terrible mistake people make in rejecting you, Lord Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth. The only way by which a person can be saved. So, Father, I pray for everyone in this room here today. We have followed this church for years, and we are so thankful to be part of it. And today I pray for the people that they would learn one or two lessons from this story, and they would change certain things in their lives, that they may not end up with this rich man. Thank you, Father, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.